Okay, so we're on Daf Chavav Amud Aleph. We will see that the topic, we're going to be starting the general topic of Teshuva Kanta Duru, which is a huge topic throughout the second parak. But we're going to be focusing, first we'll discuss a little in general, and then we'll really focus on the Gemara at hand, which is the specific topic of Shomrei Ha'ir and Shomrei Ginos U'Pardesim. So just before we start, we just read the Gemara inside. So you see Tana Rabbanan Shomrei Ha'ir. You want to go for it? Yaakov, Shomrei? Yeah, I know, but I'm calling on you anyways. Come on, let's go. Tana Rabbanan. Slow.
Tana Rabbanan. Shomrei Ha'ir. Tore Nosek Ha'ir. Chayavim Ba'ayla.
Right, so when it comes to Shomrei Ha'ir, and we'll get back to what exactly the reason for this patur is, it sounds like, right, you're only patur kol zman that you are actually there. Okay. Contrast to the
fact. They are butter in the name of the night, and it seems like it doesn't matter when they're actually there.
Yeah, it sounds from the it sounds from Rishon, I think Rashi already says it, that presumably they're there both during the day and the night. So they're there the entire day, and we're basically, and therefore they're going to be butter, bein bayom, bein balayim. Right? But the Gemara is now going to ask this, because they're there all day, so that ends up being, at least for now, that seems to be their place of residence. So Gemara asks.
And now they suka hatam.
We're gonna have to see exactly what exactly. Why is this not Teshuva Kanta Duru? And just if you recall, meaning this is the first time the Gemara in this parak, I think even in the Masechta, for sure in the parak, mentions Teshuva Kanta Duru. So that's where we're gonna get into the general topic a little bit of Teshuva Kanta Duru, right? So that's the Vayishita, is that the patur here is Teshuva Kanta Duru. Then Rava argues and says, exactly. You're basically literally, you know, the breach is calling the Ganav to come and steal. So we're gonna have to ask, we're gonna have to see, number one, Why is he not applying Teshuva Kanta Duru, which as all of Rishonim say is a fairish brisa, so he obviously holds it the concept, so why is he not applying it here? And the issue is, the second question is, why is he not applying the classic Teshuva Kanta Duru here? And the second question is whether Pirtzei Kor L'Ganav, whether that itself is a form of Teshuva Kanta Duru. So before we get to that, first
finish the Gemara. What's the difference? There's a difference. If you're watching a pile of fruit, in the case Avai, it's the same difference. And for Avai, it's the same difference. And for Avai, you're watching all your fruit. There's no
conscious. Exactly, because you see it in front of you, we're not worried about it being stolen. Right? So that issue that we just mentioned about the question of whether Rava, whether he argues and rejects the notion of Teshuva Kanta Duru, let's see, just Tosas very quickly on the spot, who basically picks up on this point. Duru Masla Pirtza.
Tosas Pirtza Kuala Ganav. Lav Mishum Deleve Le Rava Rashad Teshuva Kanta Duru, not because Rava doesn't hold the time Teshuva Kanta Duru. The Vaita Hina Kamala Vilkin, the Vaita, that sets the Teshuva Kanta Duru, so it must be the answer.
Correct. So the simple understanding of Tosas is that does he view Pirtzei Kor L'Ganav as an application of Teshuva Kanta Duru, or is separate from Teshuva Kanta Duru?
Separate.
Right, it sounds like the fact that he has to come along and say, oh, even Rava, or he was saying Pirtzei Kor L'Ganav, he also obviously holds Teshuva Kanta Duru, implication, right, in contrast to other Rishonim who, like the Ritzvah, who say that Pirtzei Kor L'Ganav is an application of Teshuva Kanta Duru, it sounds from Tosfos that Pirtzei Kor L'Ganav is an independent factor, independent from Teshuva Kanta Duru, and we're going to have to explain that. But Tosfos is basically saying that while he holds of the notion in general of Teshuva Kanta Duru, for sure in the Braisa, he doesn't apply it in this context. Fine. So before we go any further, let's just take really a step back, and once we have this drasha, or like this is the first time we have the drasha of Teshuva Kanta Duru, and let's just first discuss the din at hand for a couple minutes, and then we'll go on to other points. So the first issue, right, the classical understanding of the din of Tishu Kanta Duru is what? How would you, if you have to formulate it in one sentence, what's the din of Tishu Kanta Duru?
You must be your sukkah like in your house. If it's not, so then
you're not. Exactly. So it's a double-edged sword. It tells you that the way you have to live in the sukkah is the way you live in the house. And therefore, on the flip side, is that in situations where you do not have that, you're going to end up being putter, according to at least most people. So that's where the general din of Tishu Kanta Duru is simply live in the sukkah in the manner in which you live in the house. So we're going to see that there are two basic ways to understand this din, right? The first way to understand this din is that it's just simply a prat in the Kiyam HaMitzvah, in the sense that there's a mitzvah of sukkah, and comes along Tishu Kanta Duru to tell you what are the parameters of this mitzvah. Alright, the mitzvah of Teshu Ken Daduru tells you the mitzvah of sukkah is about sitting in the sukkah in a particular manner, in the manner which is Ken Daduru. That's probably the classical understanding of the din of Teshu Ken Daduru. To be magdir and to tell you how, what exactly the parameters of the chiyuv are. The second approach that I've heard developed from my father-in-law in a lot of different contexts, is that this din of Teshu Ken Daduru is not just, basically, it doesn't just tell you about the parameters of the mitzvah of of sukkah. Can I just close the door? Ready? What? That not only does it tell you about the way in which the mitzvah is performed, but that right, one second. I don't want to say anything about you. Right, not only about the way the mitzvah is performed, but that it relates to the very essence of the mitzvah itself. What's the idea? The idea is that, right, that the essence of the mitzvah of sukkah is to change one's primary residence, one's primary base dira, from one's house to the sukkah. The whole essence of the mitzvah is really changing one's, his lashon is, one's primary headquarters from one's house to the sukkah. Maybe we'll discuss at a later point the hashkafic ramifications of that, including the idea of hashkacha, that's the idea of sukkahs mamish versus ananiya kavod, all that. But leaving that aside for the moment, the essence of the mitzvah of sukkah is to leave one's house and to make the sukkah one's primary residence. And then, according to this pshat, the din of teshu kein taduru is a natural extension of the very essence of the mitzvah. Because once the essence of the mitzvah is to change one's residence from the house to the sukkah, then the way in which you're supposed to live in the sukkah is supposed to relate to the way you would live in the house, because the whole point of the sukkah is to replace one's house. So once again, the first understanding was that it's just simply a way in which to perform the mitzvah. The second one is that the way in which you're supposed to perform the mitzvah also basically shed light on the whole essence of the mitzvah itself. And one makor where this really comes through very clearly is really the Mishnah and the Braisa, really the only Tanaic statements which really record this din of Teshu Ken Daduru. Where is that? Where's the only time you have Teshu Ken Daduru found in the Braisa? Echav Chesam Beis. Let's just turn there really quickly. Let's try to read the Mishnah and the Braisa there. So look at the Lashon there, we're going to see that it works out very well with this approach. Chaim, you want to go for it? Mishnah Chav Chesam Beis.
Adam also has Sukkot Keva Beit Arai. The person also needs to make sure that his Sukkot is his permanent residence and his house is his temporary residence.
Like exactly.
So headquarters.
Exactly. Right. So right over there, and we'll see the Braisa in a second, which relates to the din of Teshuvah Ken Daduru, and explains what are the concrete ramifications of this din. But already just the lashon of the idea of being ose sukaso keva ubeso arai, one could have claimed that if the focus of Teshuvah Ken Daduru is just in how you're supposed to live in the sukkah, you could have said, just say that your sukkah is supposed to be keva. You're supposed to live in your sukkah as your keva place. But it also adds ubeso arai, so it could be that the lashon of the Braisa is trying to say that, no, your sukkah is supposed to replace your house. Right? It's not just, oh, there's a certain way you're supposed to live in the sukkah, but you're supposed to change your primary residence from the house to the sukkah to the extent that your house becomes your arai residence and your sukkah becomes your kavua residence. And just now let's see the Braisa who fleshes this out, borrowing the same lashon of the Mishnah, but now connecting it to Teshuvah Ken Daduru and giving a concrete ramification of this. So the idea of Teshuvah Ken Daduru, according to the second explanation and the following law presented, is that it's not just about how the Maisa Mitzvah, let's say, not just about how the Maisa Mitzvah is supposed to be performed, but it also relates, to use the Ritzah's Lashon, in terms of the Kavanas HaMitzvah. It relates to the whole essence of the Mitzvah itself, which is about basically replacing one's house with the Sukkah as one's primary residence. And we're going to see different dinim, which basically flow from this understanding that Tishrei Kinedir is not just about how you do the Maisa Mitzvah, it's about the... Okay. That's fair. Okay, so yeah, let's see the Braisa and the Gemara. Same din. Make your sukkah the keva and your bias the arai. So because what are the right, what are the concrete ramifications, what are the concrete actions supposed to be taken in order to accomplish this?
Everything.
Is the word of those dinim, right? If you have your, bring your fancy utensils to the sukkah, bring your fancy mattress also, and also you're supposed to eat, drink, and really basically spend all your time in the sukkah itself. Now, another braisa, because we haven't yet connected to Tishrei Kinedir yet. Wait, what's the makor for this idea of turning your sukkah into your keva? Exactly, and then Kate side is saying the same exact thing. So this is important. It's important to note that on a Tanaic level, in the Braisa of the Mishnayos, this is really the only application of Teshuva Kinedir, which is important to note in itself. And we're just adding that this lashon of turning your sukkah into the keva and your house into the arai also fits nicely with this idea that the whole essence of the mitzvah is about replacing one's house with one's sukkah. So now, with that background in mind, we're now going to discuss basically two general impacted issues by this Yisod, right? Two issues which are going to be impacted with this Yisod that Teshuv Kentadur relates to the very essence of the mitzvah, and it's not just a prat in the mitzvah, but relates to the whole essence of the mitzvah itself. So the first impacted issue is what exactly the makor of Teshuv Kentadur is. Right? What do you mean? There's a drasha of Teshuv Kentadur. The Gemara just says it as a statement that Teshuv Kentadur. The question is, how does he derive this din of Teshuv Kentadur from the psukim themselves? So we're going to see, and there are more than these, but we'll focus on three pshatim, right? Three explanations given by the Rishonim in terms of what exactly the drasha is. Right, so the first one is offered by the Tosas Yontif. It's quoted in the Gilyon on the side, right? Right in the Gemara in Chavav, quotes the din of Teshuv Kentadur. The Gemara, right, the Gilyon quotes this Tosas Yontif, which gives a certain explanation. Anyone want to present us the explanation of Tosas Yontif? You want to read it inside? Go for it, Aaron.
Havelei Lesko Bistukos Tiyu Ela Teshu Hainu Yeshiva Derech Iko Hainu Kintadur.
So what's the drasha according to this Tosas Yontif?
It should say you should be in a sukkah. Be in a sukkah for 7 days. It said sit in a sukkah, so therefore it's...
Exactly. Exactly. So his understanding is that the lashon of teshvu, right, bisukos teshvu, the lashon of teshvu has an implication of being tadur, right, a kavua residence. So we're not going to get too many details. Other rishonim, achronim, basically reject this drasha. For instance, the Ritzvah in passing, right, he's obviously not working on Tosas Yontif, which comes later, but rejecting this explanation explicitly says, this is on Daf Chavav, right, when he's discussing the drasha, he explicitly rejects this possibility, and he says, Lav milishna de teshvu nafkalon, don't say it's coming from the lashon of the pasuk of Besukos teshvu, like this first pshat of Tosas Yontif, because the Adrav, he has a counter diyuk, he says, midlo ksiv taduru, uksiv teshvu mashma ifa. Alright, it's a technical machlokas here. Right, according to the Ritzvah, if it's really coming from those words, it should have said besukos tadru. In fact, it says besukos teshvu for him implies otherwise. Basically, this first pshat that it's coming from the lashon of teshvu really doesn't tell us much about the nature of the drasha. Right, it just tells us where it comes from, but doesn't really imply anything about the gedder and the nature of the drasha itself. But that's option number one. The second option.
So the way how Tosas Yontif taught us the drasha, it sounds like Tosas Yontif would be masking more like the second way how you define the Teshuva Kentadur more than the first way.
Why the second way?
Because it says that Teshuva is a lashon like a beast.
Yeah, but everyone holds. I mean, that's lashon of the price on Chafes, the Mishnah of Chafes. That's Kavias. The question that we were raising before is not And everyone agrees that the Maisa Yeshiva Pesuka is a Yeshiva Bekvius. Everyone agrees that. The question is Teshuva Kedem Kein Tadiru just about the Maisa Mitzvah, the way in which you perform the Mitzvah, or it also does it relate to the whole essence and the Tam HaMitzvah itself? It will become...
Would it be appropriate to add an afternoon between those two different ways of looking at it?
What do you mean by that?
Yeah,
so we're gonna see an afkamina. Yeah, we're gonna see differences. But basically, this translation, you know, is pretty, you know, neither here nor there. It's a more of a technical explanation. It comes from the lashon of teshu. It doesn't really tell us much about the nature of the drasha itself. The second option for what the source of the drasha is, this is the Ramban, which is quoted by the Ritzva, who says it all comes from the words Ezra. You know, remember what the Ramban says?
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. This interesting idea that we derive from the word Ezra, that it refers to Ezra Chavanan, refers to someone who is, like, you know, sitting in the sukkah in a pleasant manner. Right? So this is a very right, and therefore the mitzvah, according to this, the mitzvah of sukkah only applies in a pleasant situation, and there that's where all the Peturim of Mitzdar, Hochidracham, all those other cases where you wouldn't be able to live in a sukkah in a pleasant manner, that's how they're all derived from Teshuva Kein Tadiru, according to this second shot. But the reason why this second shot is very important, because this, one second, this also sheds light on the nature of the drasha itself. As Rabbi Kiva probably pointed out, when we're in this whole sugya of the Petur Mitztayer, the big machlokes between the Marik and the Urayim is whether that Mitztayer, which triggers the Petur Sukkah, whether that has to relate to the Sukkah itself, right? And the Marik is the famous Shita who says, no, any Mitztayer at all end up being pulled to you. And the question of the Marik is, where does that come from? How is that derived from Teshuva Kein Tadiru? Right, the classic understanding of Mitztayer being derived from Teshuva Kein Tadiru is that if you were in a similar situation in a room in your house and something was bothering you, and if you, by leaving that room, you'd be saved from the Tsar, so the same thing would apply by Sukkah. But and that would be only in a case where the Tsar is connected to the Sukkah itself. According to Marik, that any Tsar, even if it's not connected to the Sukkah, that still triggers the Petur Mitztayer. So where is that coming from? And as you probably explained, it's all must align with this Ramban. Because according to this Ramban, the vort of Teshuva Kein Tadiru is not only about, oh, just living in the exact same way as you live in the house, but it's about the mitzvah only applies when you'd be living in a pleasant manner. And therefore, whenever there's any factor of tsar, whether it's coming from the sukkah or not, that would also trigger the patur of mitzvah. So that's why this second shot of Teshuva Kein Tadiru coming from Ha'ezrach, and this idea of Ezrach Ranan, also has implications regarding the geder of the din as well.
Go for it. I was wondering if it's possible to read the Ezrach Ranan thing in a way that doesn't necessarily fit with the Marik, that, like,
yeah,
Ha'ezrach is just a gibui that Teshvu means, not like just sitting, it means Kein Tadiru. And once that's true, the Iker Drasha is still Kein Tadiru, and you still have to use that
related
as
to the second. Okay, meaning I hear that you can understand the Ramban as not aligning with the Marik, but the point is that the Marik would need to come onto something like the Ramban. Alright, the Tzliya is in one direction. Right? Someone like the Marik needs to understand the din of Teshuva Kein Tadiru in this way of viewing the Ramban, is that as long as the mitzvah only applies in a pleasant situation. But you're right, the Ramban himself could be open to tying it more to the Sukkah itself. Yeah?
Yeah, I think he actually said that this Ramban might have been the core for the Marik.
Yeah, that's the idea that I'm saying. So, yeah.
I understand how this is shining light on Teshuva in general.
So, I mean, not in the original sense, not in that discussion of whether it's about, you know, just the Maisa Mitzvah or about the essence of the Mitzvah, but this is in a different sense, in terms of the Geder, in terms of whether something like Petur Mitztayer would be limited to something related to the Sukkah, or even something not related to the Sukkah. But not, about to get right now, the third shot, which is a very interesting pshat that the Ritzva gives, also on Chavav. This is the pshat that he, I think, likes, is that the makor is a fascinating idea, right? The Ritzva says that the makor of Teshuva Kein Tadiru is not any specific word, right? It's not the lashon of Teshuva, it's not the lashon of Ezrach, it's rather from the Kavanas HaMitzvah. Right, just read this inside. Right, he says, Elo sha'anu, right, lemeidim kein mi Kavanas HaMitzvah. We know this din of Teshuva Kein Tadiru just from the tam or the essence of the mitzvah itself. She'amra Torah, the sukkah Teshuva Shivas Yom. The Torah tells us mitzvah sukkah. Kelomar kimoshe hayisim yoshevim bebeis eichem. just like you'd be sitting in your house. The question is, what's going on here? Meaning, how do you know, meaning, how, the Ritz just assumes here that the din of Teshu Kendadiru comes from the essence of the mitzvah, the Kavanah mitzvah. But what is the Kavanah mitzvah to explain how this Teshu Kendadiru is a natural extension of the mitzvah? But once again, if you take the approach that my father-in-law was explaining, that the whole essence of the mitzvah of Sukkah is about changing one's primary residence from the house to the Sukkah, and then we explain the natural extension of that is therefore to then live in the sukkah in a manner which is parallel to the way you would live in this house, because the whole point is the sukkah being is a replacement of the house. Then you can understand this ritual. Why the source of Teshu Kendadiru doesn't have to be a specific word, it's just the essence of the mitzvah itself. So once again, only if you take some approach that my father was developing, that the Teshu Kendadiru flows from the essence of the mitzvah, could you then understand the makor like the ritzva who says that the din flows from the essence of the mitzvah.
I would have thought that he derived that was the seba of the mitzvah of sukkah from the fact that there was Teshu Kendadiru. Given Teshu Kendadiru,
who's he?
Your father.
Because
there was Teshu Kendadiru, therefore we know he's like a gilui mitzvah on the mitzvah of sukkah. There's a to change headquarters from the house to there. Not that. If we already knew that without Teshu Kendadiru, then like.
I'm saying there's one question like how do you derive. The question is, according to the ritzel, the way the Gemara, the way Torah Shalat had worked, right, was that it was clear what the Kavanah Mitzvah was as part of what's called the Torah Shalat path, the Mesorah, part of the Mesorah, what the Mitzvah is about. There's a certain essence of the Mitzvah, which is X, which we're now explaining what that is. And the ritzel assumes that whatever the Kavanah Mitzvah was, the Din of Teshu Kendadiru and the Mishnayos and the Gemaros are all derived as a natural extension of that Kavanah Mitzvah. We're now working backwards and saying, how do you connect those dots? What is the Kavanah Mitzvah such that the din of Teshu Kendadiru would be a natural extension from that? So we're working backwards and saying, oh, must be the Kavanah Mitzvah is all about this idea of really this change of headquarters. And that's how the Ritzvah would make sense.
That only works according to the Ritzvah, that doesn't necessarily work for the Rishonim.
You don't necessarily see that from the Rishonim. There'll be other indications of this, so this is not the only, this is the Ritzvah's understanding of the makor of Teshu Kendadiru can only work within this pshat. The other pshatim in the makor could work without this pshat, but we're going to see other halachos which also imply like this. Yeah.
There's a different way of explaining it, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he's saying from the pasuk itself, Shomer Torah Teshu Zayin Yomim. Like the fact that you're living there 7 days. Okay, where do you live 7 days? And then a place that's actually like where you live.
Probably he says Mikavanas Hamitzvah.
Right, the Kavanah Mitzvah, Sha'amra Torah, I mean, it sounds like from the general.
Just the fact that it's 7 days that itself tells
I don't know if it's just 7 days, but the fact that
saying it's
the
multiple.
Entire thing implies
okay.
A more basic
thing. For the other approach, but I hear.
So, I'm still trying to understand. You're saying that this is a Makor. As I understand what this means, Makor means that we try to find a source in the Torah for this din to become more toxic. Right.
Basically, the Ritva in the Chudash fashion basically says there's no specific word which functions as a makor.
Right.
Here, the makor is just the nature of the mitzvah itself.
Right. So in that case, the Ritva is kind of saying the exact opposite of what you said. What you said, the way you explained it before was that that teshu ke'in to do is what I was saying. That Teshu Kendadiru is
it's a natural extension of the essence of the mitzvah.
But so you can, if I had a makor, I could then say, oops.
No,
I have a makor, but I can't say.
But the ritzvah is assuming that the ritzvah is assuming that through the Mesorah, right, it was known what the Kavanah Mitzvah was. My interpretation of the ritzvah. Is that the ritzvah when he says the makor is the kavanah mitzvah? That there was obviously not the thing. You have to know what the kavanah mitzvah is. So there has to be some mesorah regarding the kavanah mitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah, and then this din flows from that.
Kavanah mitzvah is two different things.
What the kavanah mitzvah was. So now we're explaining. We're inserting. All you know from the ritzvah is that there's kavanah mitzvah, and teshu kendadiru is a natural extension of that. So now you have to work backwards and now understand. So what is the essence of the mitzvah?
So he's saying that the makor is Allah's Almighty.
Who's he? The Ritva is saying the Kavanas HaMitzvah, which is dictated by Nesoma.
The Kavanas HaMitzvah, the title of Rosh Baltet, is the Makor for a din in Rosh Baltet. So why don't we just say that Tesh Bukin to do is a Lacham HaMitzvah? In that case.
It's, you know, the Teshu Ke'in Tadiru is being, I mean, the way he understands it, I mean, when the mitzvah tells you, Besukos Teshu, Shivas Yom, Adin Daraisa, there's an understanding of what exactly that means, that a natural extension of that mitzvah Daraisa, is that these are the parameters. So these parameters end up being Adin Daraisa, because it's all about the parameters of the. I don't get too bogged down with this, so, right? Yeah?
These questions should also might be me in the pasuk, because you have the kavanas HaMitzvah. I think what you were trying to say is that...
When he says the right, pasuk, he's just saying that that's just the myth.
That makes it into a din d'oraisa. Correct. You can't just take the kavanah and like, add that into the
din. Exactly, meaning you need... There's a mitzvah of sukkah, which is a certain understanding of what that is, which we know through Masorah, obviously. And then, the natural extension of that is Teshuvah Ken HaTzur. Okay, so moving... We're good? I don't want to... Maybe afterwards, I just don't want to, we have to finish. So let's just try to move on here. I'll take all questions afterwards. Okay, so basically, right, the first impacted issue was the, right, basically, what exactly the makor was. We saw three different pshatim, Lashna Teshu, Ezrach, or the Kavanas Mitzvah itself, and we pointed out that third option relates to that, to the overall issue, that the essence, that this is an idea coming from the essence of the mitzvah. So the second impacted issue, which is, you know, it's a huge topic, we're going to really just touch on a little bit of it, but also try to introduce the large topic at the same time, is that there are a lot of different dinim which come out of the din of Teshu Kein Tadiru. A lot of different types of dinim. So if you just put them all together, you can really classify the different type of dinim in four different classifications. Basically, classifications of types of dinim which are stemming from Teshu Kein Tadiru. So in this specific shir, we're only going to focus on the ones which are directly related to Shomrei Ha'ir and Shomrei Ginos. But just to, because of the first time we're doing this sugya, just to first lay out the four different categories, different classifications, and then we'll just focus on the ones that are relevant. So the first major category of dinim are the dinim relating to the yeshiva besukkah, right? The manner in which the yeshiva besukkah takes place. And as Yaakov pointed out, both on a chiyav level, we'll say the things that, because of Teshu Kein Tadiru, the way in which you positively have to live there, and on the negative level, cases where the yeshiva, in a certain circumstance, is not Kein Tadiru, where they'll also end up triggering a petur. But the first category that the Teshu Kein Tadiru is about the manner in which the yeshiva besukkah takes place. That's category number one. Category number two are dinim which relates to the chetze shel sukkah. We'll get to this at a later point. Basically, dinim not relating to the way in which you live in the sukkah, but rather relating to the sukkah itself. Just a quick reference, we're not going to deal with this, just because we saw it earlier. The end of that, at the end of that Mordechai, which was in the context of the Turim Mitzdar, which quoted the Yerayim at the beginning, he quoted his din at the end, which is a very important din, that a sukkah, which does not have the capacity to allow for all three of Achila, Shtia, and Shena, right, if the chetze shel sukkah could only facilitate one, cannot facilitate all three of them, the sukkah itself is possible for anything. So that, and that's a din in Teshu Kein Tadiru. That's an example of Teshu Kein Tadiru, not relating to the way in which you live there. It's not the yeshiva besukkah, but it's about defining the type of sukkah which is ra'i, ru'uya, for the sukkah. So that's just classification number two. And classification number three, which I started discussing with some of the guys in Seder, is who is chayiv in the mitzvah of sukkah, right? Some of the guys, there's a Gemara on Chav Ches on the Bay, is discussing with Hirsch and Yaakov, others, basically comes up in the piece of the Netziv, where basically there's a Havamina on Chav Ches on the Bay in the context of Nashim, and there's a similar Havamina on Chav Aleph on the Bay in Tosfos, context of Avadim, that the din of Teshu Kein Tadiru will also be mechayiv certain people in the mitzvah, right? In contrast to saying that Teshu Kein Tadiru is basically defines the parameters of a pre-existing chiyuv, this third classification, which might only exist in the Hamamina, is that Teshu Kein Tadiru can also be mechayiv people such as Nashim, and avadim who would otherwise be putter because the mitzvah of seishah is not grama, be mechayev them to begin with in the mitzvah of sukkah. That's a distinct qualification because it's not about the way in which someone is previously mechuyev how he's supposed to be yoshev the sukkah, and it's not about the chetzah of sukkah, but it's about mi mechayev, who is mechayev in sukkah. And the fourth classification, which we will get back to because it's important for our sugya, and this directly relates to this topic at hand, another concrete ramification of this yesod of the sukkah being a replacement of the house, is this idea that sukkah will only apply in cases where the sukkah is seen as a replacement for the house. So we'll get back to that. But that's the fourth category. Basically, a qualification to the mitzvah of sukkah that it will not apply, because it will only apply in certain situations where the sukkah could be seen as a replacement of the house, which also, once again, works out very nicely with the whole yisur. The essence of the mitzvah is about replacing the house with the sukkah. And then it would make sense to say that it only applies when the sukkah can be seen as a replacement for the house. So that's just the overall broad, and when we do all the sugyas that Teshuva came through, the key is to really focus on which of these dinim apply to which category. So starting with the first category, which is the largest category that the, if you ask someone off the street what Teshuva came through is about, and they would tell you it's about the yeshiva b'sukkah, how you're supposed to live in the sukkah. So we pointed out before, this exists on two levels. Number one, in certain circumstances, it tells you chiyuvim, and that's the example on Chavches Amid Beis, where we saw that the chiyuv to bring the kelim na'im and the matzaos yachos into the sukkah. That's basically the idea that because the yeshiva b'sukkah is supposed to be ke'im tadiru, you therefore have the responsibility to the kumba asay, go ahead and move your finest kelim to the sukkah in order to have your yeshiva b'sukkah be parallel to the yeshiva in the house. That's an example of these category one of yeshiva b'sukkah being applied on a chiyuv level, to tell you what you have to do in order to accomplish, in order to parallel, to create that parallel of the ke'in tadur. More examples exist in the other direction, that basically in the cases where you have exceptions to the mitzvah of sukkah, based on the fact that such a mitzvah of sukkah, such a yeshiva b'sukkah would not be parallel, would not be ke'in tadur.
Betur,
exactly. Exceptions. So one, just to summarize things we've done already, the classical example is the patur of mitzdayer, which we discussed in past shiurim, right? And according to many rishonim, the makor is that mitzdayer is not ke'in tadiru. So that's an example where, since the yeshiva pesuk is not ke'in tadiru, the mitzvah doesn't apply. Second example is holchei drachim, which is also discussed in past sugyas, where the idea again is that because people do not basically refrain from going on trips in order to stay in their house, so you don't have to refrain from leaving your sukkah not to go on a trip. So that was the past, just putting everything in context. And now the third example of an exception, which is getting to our sugya, is shomrei ha'ir. Right, the brisa that we just read on Chav Vav basically said that in a case of a shomrei ha'ir, someone who's basically a guard for the city, that they are pater from sukkah. And the question is, what is the basis of that tour? So the Ritzvah probably gives the simplest explanation. And the Ritzvah, if anyone has a Ritzvah, you can take it out. Basically, look at the Ritzvah on the spot, explains. He says, Pirish Taima Mishum Teshuvu Ken Tadiru, right, tying in this Ptur also to Teshuvu Ken Tadiru. What's the key line? He says, Ki Bizman Shir Gilim Lasheves Bibatayim Chayavim B'sukkah. Because the Mitzvah of Yeshiva B'sukkah only applies during those time periods where you would be Yoshev in your house. And since this Shomer Ha'ir, right, he's at work. He's not in his house. So because he's at work and not in his house, therefore the mitzvah of sukkah will not apply in such a situation according to the ritzvahs. Right? There's an example. So the ritzvah applying Teshuva Ken Tadiru basically by saying that such a yeshiva, b'sukkah, would not be Ken Tadiru because in the parallel situation, the person is not in his house. This is not a time where a person is in his house. What? L'shitaso. What? I think a lot of people would be able to say this type of shot, but it does align. And now the second shot, yeah.
So basically, the saying that since he doesn't, we have two cane to do, but since he doesn't have a cane to do,
basically,
so then
this,
you have nothing to.
Exactly. If you were to sit in the sukkah in this case, that would not be cane taduru, because he wouldn't be sitting in his house in his time. Therefore, that's not a yeshiva b'sukkah, which is cane taduru.
Would this be the fourth category, the replacement of the house?
So we'll see exactly what I mean by that later. But in this, yeah, there are some overlap. It could overlap, but yeah, this probably could be in that as well. But on a simple level, you just say, we're saying you have to sit in the sukkah in the same way, at the same time that you'd be sitting in your house, so it really fits in the first category as well. But that's a good ara.
So we're saying it's the first category?
Yeah. The pashas, the first category could also be the fourth category. There could be overlap in certain circumstances. The second explanation of the tour of Shomer Ha'ir, which, thanks to Yaakov and Hirsch, I was made aware of, is that the Meiri has this really enigmatic line. When he's trying to explain the tour of Shomer Ha'ir, I think Yaakov Shmin was machaving to this idea, but the Meiri has this line and basically says that the reason why a Shomer Ha'ir is Pater is because he's there mitzad ha'hechrach. He's forced to be watching the ear. The question is azma, meaning why is the fact that you're forced to be there, why is that trigger of a tour? So the pshat that I thought and said, and I think Yaakov agreed to, is that this is also another manifestation of teshu kikin tadur, in the sense that what's the manner in which you live in a house? You live in your house by your own volition, right? No one forces you to be in your house. You live in your house because you want to be there. Therefore, if someone's in a situation where they're in a certain situation where they're forced to be there, whether because the malchus or the government or whatever, that to force to basically then be machayev that person in sukkah, that sukkah would not be kein tadiru, because that yeshiva b'sukkah would be mitzara hechrach, which is not kein tadiru, where generally you live in your house shlo mitzara hechrach. So, what? I think halacha drachim is coming from a different angle that is similar on the volition side. But halacha drachim is the idea that we're not going to basically there's some overlap. The Halacha Drachma is about that. Just like in the house, we don't force you to stay in your house. You wouldn't force yourself to stay in your house, so too, we're not going to force you to stay. Yeah, so there is some overlap from a different angle. So here, Shomer Ha'ir, both for the Ritva and for the Meiri, both of these Pshatim are basically saying that this case of Shomer Ha'ir is not Tishu Kein Tadru on a yeshiva basukah level, either because this is not the time that you would be, this is not the time in which you would live in your house, or this is not the way in which you live in the house, which because this case is Mitzad Ha'er. Yeah?
How exactly do those fit into the first category?
Because they're basically saying that the only time that the mitzvah of sukkah applies is where if the yeshiva b'sukkah would parallel the yeshiva the b'sukkah. Right? Basically, the only mitzvah of sukkah only applies when the yeshiva in the sukkah will parallel the classical yeshiva the b'sukkah. But either if that's not the time when you sit in your house, or that's not the manner in which you sit in your house, because you generally sit in your house by your own volition, and here it's Mitzad Ha'Hechrach. Those are two ways to distinguish between the yeshiva, basically the yeshiva bebeso, and the yeshiva besukkah in these cases, which were not parallel, and therefore there'd be a patur. Okay, so that was Shomrei Ha'ir. So now moving on to the Shomrei Ginos, which is yet another, basically, patur of sukkah, which according to many explanations also is in this first category of the yeshiva not being parallel to the yeshiva bebeisa. So now, as we saw in the Gemara, there is over outside, you have an important machlokes between Rava and Abaye in terms of what is the p'tur of sukkah for Shomer Ginos, right? And the question of the Gemara is that in contrast to Shomer Ya'ir, which most likely that's not where you live, right? You have your house, and then you have a night shift or you have a day shift, so that's what the Gemara said, at least for sure according to the Ritzvah, that the mitzvah of sukkah is not going to apply because it's not the time that you spend in your house. But according to the Shomer Ginos, where at least at this point the person is there all day, as Rashi says, lozazam misham, he's there all day, so the question the Gemara is going to ask is, so once he's there all day, so why don't we just make that his residence and have him build a sukkah there? So then the two answers to that question, we're going to have to explain exactly what it means, is right, Abaye's answer is teshu kein tadru. And then Rava's answer is Pirtza Kora Lagana. The question is, what exactly is the pshat in both of these factors? Namely, how does Teshu Kenta Duru, why is this case not Teshu Kenta Duru? And what does Pirtza Kora Lagana have to do with anything? So, right, the first pshat in Abaye's Teshu Kenta Duru comes from Rashi on the spot. So if someone want to read it? Eitan, you want to go for it? Rashi on the spot. Rashi says, Kein Taduru. Right, this is explaining Abaye's application of Kein Tadru to this case of Shomrei Ginos. Right? Right, there's the mitzvah of sukkah is only the way, the manner in which you would be yoshev in your house throughout the year. Oh, so yeah, comma. Alright, so only what is he saying? There's a reference to the Mishnah, the Brisa and Chavches on the base here. Right, he's saying, right, you're only mechayev a yeshiva besukkah, which were parallel yeshiva bebeis. So, and as we saw from Chavches on the base, what's one, let's say, it's a salient, very primary aspect of yeshiva bebeis. So you have your fancy dishes, your fancy kelim, and you have your fancy mattresses. So therefore, Rashi is saying that the only time the mitzvah of sukkah applies is when you would be able to carry over those kelim na'im and matzaos yafos to the sukkah. But why doesn't that apply here? Continues Rashi. Which means what?
You can't bring all this stuff where it works.
To where it works, exactly, because it would be too much of a tircha. So basically, in essence, Rashi is saying, what is why it belongs to this first category, is basically saying the yeshiva in such a sukkah would not parallel the yeshiva in a person's bias, because generally the yeshiva bebeso, you have your finest utensils, and here you wouldn't have them. Why wouldn't you have them? Because of the tircha. So the major question that the footnotes and the Ritva ask is, since when, why is tircha, as is Aryeh and Yehuda, why is tircha a factor? Meaning, at the end of the day, make the guy bring it. That's the Mishnah Chav Chasim is, you have to bring it over. So what do you mean, what does Rashi mean to say that, because of the Tircha, therefore you can't have your nice stuff there, and once you don't have your nice stuff there, what can you do? It's not Teishu, can't do it. Since when is Tircha a Betur? Want to answer that?
The Tircha itself, but it can't do it.
Exactly. Exactly. The answer, you have to say that this is all within Teishu Kintadura, is that you have to say, which is a Chiddush, that it wouldn't be Teishu Kintadura to exert so much effort, that generally you don't exert so much effort to have your finest kalim around and accessible. And therefore, since the only way to have an accessible in this sukkah would be to exert so much tircha, that edit tircha basically dictates that this is not within the realm of Teishu Kintadura. Yeah?
So
I'm about
to say, if he's a big backyard,
I'm using that. So using that's a mitzayir. I'm using that's like a mitzayir or a tircha. Of here.
Whenever you build a sukkah.
Yeah. So there's a whole discussion which gets the mitzayir issue, that whether mitzayir in the realm of the asiyas sukkah is also a mitzayir.
Not the building. I mean, you're able to build the sukkah.
Oh, you mean just getting there. Oh, you mean you built it? Okay.
You build the sukkah in the back of your backyard, but
it's
that's
hard
the
to get
part that's not carved by trees, so you had to do it there.
Okay.
But now you can't bring your kelim. So now, why aren't you potter?
Oh. You're saying if you have a case where if there's a tircha gedola to bring your... So, you have to figure out what the threshold of tircha gedola is.
Every case is something.
I mean, you have to draw the line somewhere. But if theoretically you can come up with some other case which Rashi would agree met the threshold of tircha gedola, then inachnami would also be a similar potter. You just have to always figure out what is that threshold of tircha gedola to trigger this potter. Just
one. So what about if you have all of your food inside, and you have it in your backyard and you have no air of what happens? That is a tircha gedola to live in your sukkah when the majority of the when there's no way to build an air of
what happens. You mean is it Shabbos? The question is, are there other circumstances where you could have a similar tircha gedola?
Yeah.
Probably there are. There's an example of that. Whichever case you come up with, you have to figure out. You have to look at the postgame in terms of what exactly the threshold and whether that particular case meets the threshold.
Who was that?
That was Rashi. That was Rashi on the Daf. So it explains that the lack of Teishu Kein Dadurut by Shomer Ginos is basically the fact that you won't be able to have your nice kalim there because of the tircha involved in bringing them, and that makes it not Kein Dadurut. So the Meiri similarly takes this approach, takes it in a little different fashion, but similarly says that the reason for the lack of Teishu Kein Tadiru, of a bias application of Teishu Kein Tadiru by Shomer Ginos, is similarly that you can't have your Kelim Noam and Matzos Yafos in the Sukkah, similar to Rashi, and that makes it lav not Kein Tadiru. But instead of Rashi, who says the reason why you can't have them there is because it would be a tircha gedola, the Meiri presumably might not like that idea, might I think that opens the Pandora's box. It just doesn't like the idea that such a tircha would be involved, would be integrated into Teshuvah Nedarim. So Miri says the reason why you can't have all those kelim there is because what? You remember? Because of the rain, exactly. Because if you were to bring all the stuff there, then they would get ruined through the rain. And the idea, again, is it's all within Teshuvah Kein Tadiru in the sense that it's not Kein Tadiru to have a situation where all your fancy kelim would be ruined by a mere rainstorm. So therefore, the Meiri is saying that in such a situation, it's not Kein, therefore, it wouldn't be Kein Tadiru to basically subject your fancy kelim to such damage, and therefore, once you can't have your fancy kelim there, it's no longer teshu kein tadiru to be living in such a manner.
Okay. Doesn't the Meiri say it's because of Torah? Tircha would be tircha yoseiro,
taking it out.
Yeah, it'd be a tircha to then because.
So you can't save your kelim from being ruined, but it would be tircha yoseiro to do so.
Yeah, that's what it, is that his solution?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess it's coming similar. I guess then it's similar to tircha, but I guess he doesn't like, as we're talking about before, in terms of what threshold of tircha basically triggers the tour of Teshuvah Kein Tadiru. So maybe he doesn't like Rashi's threshold, and therefore says you need this greater thing where you have to do this like superhuman efforts, you know, save, you know, to go crazy and run. What?
So it's both of them?
I don't know if you need both. It's the maybe the tircha involved of having to save to prevent the hefset.
The hefset is caused by tircha.
Exactly.
According to the Meiri, then the tircha does not start until after sukkah restarted. I mean, like, it doesn't matter how much tircha there is; it's only after sukkah started that therefore the teshuvah kein tadiru takes effect.
What do you mean? Because the rain is not happening?
Yeah, exactly.
And, but it's the potential of rain creates the situation, and it's not teshuvah kein tadiru to have to basically put your kelim in a situation which will be subject to a rain. Mm-hmm. It's not, so. That creates a non-teshuvah kein tadiru, even if the actual rain doesn't come.
Usually we say but I'm saying here we wouldn't say that that's not kein tadiru, right?
So we're gonna get back. We might get back to that factor. Let's assume for now that kelim noam are not up to a fifth of your
property. No, so that, I'm saying therefore you should. Therefore.
No, but this is all mitzvah teshuvah kein tadiru. That didn't have Avivaz yet. Yeah.
Sorry, so it's not applicable because we say Teshuvah Kein Tadiru.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, this is all Teshuvah Kein Tadiru din, not that general din.
Yeah, I can sort of relate to that point. In the Meiri, Abai ends up being very similar to Rabba, that it's half said
it. Yeah, coming from a different angle, but yeah. Yeah, so I'm just. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we finish, yeah?
The Meiri always says the rain. How is that unique to our Rabba?
No, because this is the only situation where you have your sukkah so far away from your house.
They get ruined anyway. Like, you're close in the backyard or something.
No, because the point is that you can, if your sukkah is right outside, you can just bring it into your house. This is because all the way in the fields, that's why I think that's where it's come from. So just want to make sure we finish. Just hold off for questions for a little bit, and we'll stop at the end of the section. So now, right, so you have basically Rashi and Meiri explaining that basically that Abaye's application of Teshuvah Kein Tadiru is all related, in essence, to that Mishnah on Chofes. The lack of Teshuvah Kein Tadiru is that because you can't have your Kelim Noam and Matzoos Yafos here. So the question now shifts on Rava. According to these Rashi and Meiri, that if the basis of Abaye, in essence, is the Mishnah on Chofes, by having your Kelim Noam there, so then why is Rava, who we're assuming for now, Rava doesn't reject the whole notion of Teshuvah Kein Tadiru, certainly doesn't reject the Kelim Na'im idea on Chavches. So does Rava disagree with Abaye's application of Teshuvah Kein Tadiru if the whole pshat in Teshuvah Kein Tadiru is exactly based on that brisa of Kelim Na'im Matzoos Yafos? Right, everyone understand that question? All right, once, according to the Meiri and Rashi, you explain Abaye based on Kelim Na'im, Kelim Na'im, then the question shifts, how is Rava, who obviously agrees to that brisa, how is he arguing with this application of Teshuvah Kein Tadiru? So just a number of answers to this question. The number one is the Ran, right? The Ran answers what? How does the Ran answer this question? Why Rava disagrees with this application of Teshuvah Kein Tadiru? Anyone want to... What? But more importantly, those are the kelim.
The kelim are not
Were those the kelim that you would have in that hut. Meaning, he agrees to the Mishnah on Kehil Noyim, so it is Ma'akiv in a sense, but the Ran is pointing out, just the Lashon is, Leka Lemiftere Mishim Haitaima to Ke'enta Duru, sorry, Leka Lemiftere Mishim Haitaima, right? This application of Ke'enta Duru is not applicable here, why? Because to Ke'enta Duru, this case is Ke'enta Duru, why? Ke'evan Shekol Hashana Hudar Ba'usan Habatim Shebeganos Uba'usan Kehilim. Because the entire year, your Ke'in Taduru in the fields are with your second-rate Kalim. So the Ran is saying, within, this is a fascinating machokas, within Rava, that there's no problem of Ke'in Taduru, because that is Ke'in Taduru. Because Ke'in Taduru is all relative to context. And if, in the context of the Ginos and the Pardesim, you have your second-rate Kalim, so it would be Ke'in Taduru to have a sukkah there with your second-rate Kalim. So that sounds like a good point. So back to... back.
What if
he's a Rishon
right here? What's that?
A Rishon
right here with him?
You can be putter for other reasons.
What?
You can be putter for other reasons. So this is just, if this is the only reason Teshu can't do. So now, I think, right, so once again, right, so Rava is saying there's no chisaron of Kantadru, because this is Kantadru, because this sukkah is parallel to whatever hut or house you would have there. So now, back to Abaye. So why does Abaye say this is not Ke'en Taduru? So now I think this relates back to the Yisod at the beginning. My father-in-law's Yisod is that for Abaye, Ke'en Taduru is always based off your primary residence, your primary house. And if it's not about what your house would have been in that place, it's about, because once the essence of the mitzvah, right, obviously another is one of the concrete ramifications, I think, right, that once the essence of the mitzvah is about replacing your primary residence with the sukkah, so then your sukkah, wherever it is, should be parallel to your primary residence, which is your first-rate kalim and first-rate mitzvahs. So therefore, it could be maybe the goof of the machok between Abaye and Rava here is in terms of how you're being magdir ke'en taduru, because ke'en taduru, is that relative? Can it be relative? Or does it always have to be based on your primary residence, your ikker house? So that's answer number one for the Ran. Once again, that the reason why Rava rejects his application to Teshu ke'en taduru is because it is ke'en taduru relative to context. Merome Sada has a second answer to finish this up, sorry. The Merome Sada answers in a long piece that some of you guys saw. And his big yesod is that while Rava agrees to Teshu ke'en taduru, he thinks it's an inyan lichatzchila, which is not ma'akev b'diyev. And there, this is, yeah, the Merome, this is the Netziv, it's all in Rava. The Rava doesn't apply Teshu ke'en taduru to trigger this p'tur, because he doesn't think that Teshu ke'en taduru can trigger a p'tur. It's not ma'akev, according to Rava. It's an inyan lechatchila to bring your kelim noyim in, but Teshu ke'en taduru cannot trigger a p'tur. As we pointed out in Seder, like Moshe pointed out, this is a very difficult pshat, because at the end of the day, there's so many mitzvah, there's so many dinim which are connected to Teshu ke'en taduru, which are ma'akev, which are poter. It'd be very dochuk to say there was all within Abaye, who we don't paskin like. So to say that Rava, we generally paskin like Rava or Abaye, so that Rava basically rejects Teshu ke'en taduru as a ma'akev and only thinks it's a lechatzchila, it's a very dochuk pshat. But that's Merome Sada, second explanation for why Rava would reject the application of Teshu ke'en taduru, even though it's based on that Mishnah, because he's going to say that Mishnah is only an inyan lechatchila, but not b'diavad. Let's just finish this up. The third answer, which is my own, is that perhaps you can give another answer. Is that right now, right, the question assumes that this is a classical application of the Braisa on Chav Ches, right? The Braisa on Chav Ches says you have to bring the Kalim. So Rashi and Riri are saying in such a scenario where you don't have the Kalim, there's a Petur. But perhaps you can be mechalek, as we pointed out before, between a chiyuv and a p'tur. Parallel, if you guys saw Pnei Yeshua, makes a similar distinction between Teshu ke'en taduru creating a chiyuv, such as to bring in kelim, and whether it could also create a poter. So along those lines, it could be that, according to this third pshat, is that the way Rava, because the way Rava, the reason why Rava doesn't apply Ke'en Taduru is because he agrees to that notion of on Chav Ches, there's a chiyav to bring the kelim, your nicest kelim out there. But if you bring the nicest ones that you have, given the circumstances, even if they don't end up being your spitz first-rate kelim, you will still end up being, sorry, you will not end up being patur. So at the end of the day, according to Rava, he agrees with the Mishnah, but he thinks that that is just an idea of bringing basically your best possible kelim there. And if, for whatever reason, the best possible kelim that you can bring there are your second-rate kelim, you fulfill that teshu kein d'adiru, and we don't say that like you haven't met the objective threshold to then create a poter.
That's within the theory?
No, this is the Rava within...
And then, like, the best possible kelim.
Both for Rashi and the theory. They're both saying that you can't bring your...
But I mean, bringing any kelim is kind of is in the same Torah, according to Rashi.
No, because I don't
care.
Assuming
you already have yet
ones that. Oh, I mean, no, because it's the ones that are normally. You can have a separate set. You can have a separate set. Just to spell out the difference between this and the Ran. I mean, the Ran is basically saying that there is a relative Kein Tadiru in the fields. And whatever that threshold would be, you have to meet that. This is saying that as long as you do the most that you can, barring any Torah considerations, that's all that the mitzvah obtained, that's all the din of kelim na'im basically tells you to do. Bring the most you can do, the best you can have, and even if nafkmina, even if that doesn't match the ke'in taduru that you would have in the house, let's say in the case of the rain, right? If you'd have a house in the field, you'd have like your second rate kelim. But because it'd be protected by the rain, you don't mind doing that. But in the case of here, where it's going to be open to the field, according to the Meiri, be worried about that, even that second rate set getting ruined. But as long as you bring your set, you bring your third set. As long as you do the best, you bring the best kelim, the most naim, given the situation, you're going to basically fulfill that mitzvah of that requirement of teshu kendaduru. But it's not going to end up being ma'akev creating a patur, as long as you do that, even if it doesn't meet an objective threshold. Okay, fine. So that was all. Right, there's all the Shomer, so far there's all Shomer Ginos and Pardesim basically within Abaye, right? Understanding the idea of his application of Teshuv Kein Tadiru, and then why Rava is arguing on that Teshuv Kein Tadiru. But now let's shift to Rava, who basically explains that what's pshat in the tour, because Pirtza Kora Legano. Right? So we discussed already in Tosfos that while Tosfos views Pirtza Kora Legano as an independent factor, which is independent from Teshuv Kein Tadiru, and presumably you're going to have to come on to some questions like, what if it's independent from Teshuv Kein Tadiru, what is it? You might have to come on to say that, like Al Yevazve's Yosir Michomsho, you have to say that it might be that because this is your livelihood, so I mentioned it in the Seder, because this is your livelihood at stake, it could be that, meaning if you were to allow a guy not to steal all, if you're a farmer, all your produce to be stolen, that would be more than a chomesh. That might be the way Tosas is going to have to take it. But other Rishonim are saying, no, that Pirtza Kora Legano is basically Rava's explanation of why Teshuv Kein Tadiru applies in this situation, right? He disagrees with the bias application of Teshuv Kein Tadiru and says, no, Teshuv Kein Tadiru only applies because of this factor of Pirtza Kora Legano. So the two Rishonim who take this approach are the Ritzvah and the Mechta. Really similar ideas, but coming slightly different. The Ritzvah basically says that because of Pirtza Kora Legano, if you were busy sitting in a certain such a situation that would lead to Hefsid and Tsar, and basically that state of being a Hefsid and Tsar is not Kein Tadiru. Basically, it's not Kein Tadiru to be living in a situation where you open yourself, you so clearly open up, so easily open yourself up to being, you know, basically put in a situation of Tsar and Hefsid. So once again, it's not the Tsar and Hefsid as an independent poacherim, but rather those factors dictating that this is not a case of Kein Tadiru. Because it's not Kein Tadiru to live in a situation where you so easily open yourself up to Tsar and Hefsid. And the Michtam, in a very similar fashion, says that the Tsar is coming, he says, Ve'in lecha mitzar gadol mizeh, to basically be in such a situation where you're open to your item being stolen. So, very similar. Ritzvah focuses on the Tsar coming after they're stolen, maybe the Mechtam focusing on the Tsar in anxiety leading up to it being stolen. What? Yeah, but either way, I mean, they're basically in essence the same idea. Both the Ritzvah, what? Well, the Tsar itself is a Din HaTeshuva. Yeah, but he's also coming on to Tsar and Pseido, so Pashas, they're related. Even the Ritzvah is coming on to like a Mitzar form of Teshuv Kein Tadiru. So they end up being similar. That they say once again, the Ritzvah's factor, the Rava's factor, Pirtza Korleganov, is basically a simin to Teishu Kendadru, because opening up to be stolen triggers Tsar and Hefsid, which is mitzdayer, and which ends up being an application of Teishu Kein Tadru. Fine. Any questions now? And after this, we only have one thing left. Any questions? Yeah.
Within the Merome Soda, we said it's very duffel because there's so many parts of Teishu Kein Tadru that seem to be ma'aki. How could Rabba say that it's ma'aki?
Not that how can Rabba, because it would be very doche to assume that all those Gemaras are all according to Abai, who we don't generally pass
by. Can't we say that maybe according to Rava, or maybe that's not necessarily the Teishu Kein Tadru? I mean, doesn't really say in the Gemara that that's because of Teishu Kein Tadru?
Okay, but at the very least, right, because as we pointed out before, the Gemara only says Teishu Kein Tadru in very specific contexts. So you're right, meaning on a Gemara level you might be able to have that, because you have to come up to another explanation, but for sure it's against a lot of Rishonim. Most Rishonim explain Mitzdayer, Holchei Drachim, Shomrei Iros, all these is referring to Teishu Kein Tadru, but at the very least it would be Dochik in, remember, he's a Nitziv, this is an Afron, be Dochik to going against all Rishonim. And also, and it would be very difficult to give an alternative explanation besides for, other than Teishu Kein Tadru, for some of those Drachim. So, but yeah. Any other questions before we go to the last part? Okay. So Ad Kan, we basically had all the discussion of basically the first category of Teishu Kein Tadru, which relates to the yeshiva, the sukkah, and we basically discussed the shitos within the tour of Shomrei Ha'ir and Shomrei Ginos, the explanations which related to that. So now skipping to the fourth category, where we're going to skip over now category number two relating to the Chetzer Shel Sukkah, because that's not within our small sugi here. Also, the third category in terms of who is Chaya, that's also not within our specific sugi here. So now we're going into the fourth category, this category of the idea of the Sukkah being a replacement for the house, which is going to be another concrete ramification of this Yisod we developed in the beginning of the Shir, that the whole essence of the mitzvah is about the Sukkah being a replacement for one's house, and therefore you have a situation where the sukkah is not the replacement for the house, then the mitzvah of sukkah will not apply. So where does this come up? This comes up in the Ritzvah's explanation of Abaye in our sukkah. And when Abaye applies Teishu Kein Tadru without the factor of Pirtza Korleganov, the way in which the Ritzvah formulates the Teishu Kein Tadru seems to be along these lines. That's not about it being a parallel yeshiva basukkah, but it's about the sukkah needing to be a replacement for the house. So just see this inside, and this is the Ritzvah. If anyone has the Ritzvah, this is Dibro Maschil Shomrei Peiros. And basically has this line where it says, Amar Abaye Teishu Kein Tadru, right? This case of Shomrei Ginos is not Teishu Kein Tadru. Why? It says, V'kevan she'in derech l'kvo Hashem. Because the derech is not to have your primary house there, eino chayev lasos sham sukkah. There's no chayev to have your sukkah there. So, the way I'm interpreting, I think the footnote 456 also interprets in this manner, that the yesod here is that since sukkah is supposed to be a replacement of the house, if the house, if you wouldn't have your primary house in such a makom, and there can't be a mitzvah to build a sukkah there. Because the whole yesod of sukkah is for the sukkah to be a replacement for the house. Everyone understand that?
Yeah.
This is Dibro Maschil Shomrei Peiros. Yeah. What? They're all, is it a similar lesson? So basically, the yesod is that, meaning, instead of coming on to something like Rashi, right, who explains that, oh, but the lack of Teishu Kein Tadru here is because, right, you're not living with your finest kelim, where the yeshiva of the sukkah is not parallel to the yeshiva of the beso. Here we're focusing on this notion that the mitzvah of sukkah never applies, is like to build a sukkah in a place where you would never have your house there. And since, in this case, you never build your primary residence in the fields, therefore there can't be a mitzvah, says the Ritzvah, maybe the Ra'ah, there can't be a mitzvah to build your sukkah there. Once again, it only seems to make sense if you understand the whole gedder, the whole essence of the mitzvah is about the sukkah being the replacement for the house, then it makes sense to say that you're not going to, there's not going to be a mitzvah to build a sukkah in a place where it won't be a substitution for the house.
It was mentioned before, the previous rabbis which we quoted, we seem to say it went to category number one, and it was also noted that it could also work with number four. Now that we have this ritual that's falling to number four, it might work.
Okay, so let's get there in a second. So, which is interesting, which is when will this, just a couple more points we'll finish, let's finish on time, is that, so now we have to ask, right, according to this explanation of the ritual, right, that the pshat in Abaye's application of Teshu Kinta Duruhur is the fact that this is not a replacement, in this situation, the sukkah doesn't function as a replacement for the house. The question is now, you have to ask, what is pshat in Rava? According to this pshat, why does Rava disagree with this application of Teshu Kinta Duruhur? So Meromi Sada will be able to answer this very easily, right? Because according to Meromi Sada will be able to explain, according to everybody, that Rava cannot apply Teshu Kinta Duruhur to explain a tour sukkah, because for Meromi Sada, the Rava never thinks it's ma'akev. That's Meromi Sada applies equally here. But the way the Ritva himself explains the Shita of Rava, as we saw before, is that Rava thinks the idea is the right, that Tsar, the way he understands it, that Pirtza Kor Laganov is basically setting up a situation where, because due to the Tsar and the hefsid of the potential of it being stolen, that'll create a situation of a Tsar and a Yeshiva Besukah, which is not parallel to the Yeshiva Bebesa. So what comes out, according to the Ritva, and it could be that Gufa the Machokis, according to Ritva, Gufa the Machokis between Rava and Abaye, is whether you have this fourth category of Teshu Kein Taduru. Right, the Chiddush of Abaye is that he applies Teshu Kein Taduru alone based on this notion of needing the sukkah to be replacement of the house, this fourth category. But it could be that Rava comes along and says, no, I reject your application of Teshu Kein Taduru because I'm not makshiv, I don't agree with that fourth category of Teshu Kein Taduru. According to me, Ritzvah B'Shem Rava is going to say that no, Teshu Kein Taduru is all about, for sure, option number one, category number one of the Yeshiva B'Sukkah, and that's the way he explains it here, that Teshu Kein Taduru is only going to apply in a situation where the Yeshiva itself is not going to be Kein Taduru due to the Tsar and the Hefsid that will be caused by the Pirtza Kor Laganov. So that could be, according to the Rava, Guf of the Mahokas between Rava and Abaye here is really relates to these different categories of Peturim, categories of applications of Teshu Kein Taduru. Say my piece. Any other questions? Yeah?
Can I ask you to repeat that last thing about
the Ritzvah? Yeah. No problem. Is that the way we explain, right, the Ritzvah explains Abaye based on this fourth category. That, right, Teshu Kein Taduru is the idea is that you need the sukkah to be replacement of the house. And therefore, Abaye says that doesn't apply in the case of Shomer Ginos, that since you've never built your house there, therefore there will never be a mitzvah of sukkah there. Because in that situation, you never have the sukkah being a replacement for the house. And then comes along Rava, and disagrees with that application of Teshu Kein Taduru, and according to Rava, explains the application of Teshu Kein Taduru along the lines of the Pirtza Kor Laganov, you'll end up having all the tsar and the hefsid being caused by the sukkah, that results in that yeshiva besukkah, which is filled with tsar, and hefsid not being parallel to the yeshiva b'beisa. I'm just pointing out that you could explain that according to the Rava, that kufa the machokas between the Rava and Abaye is whether you have this fourth category. Chiddush b'Abaye is that you have this fourth category of the sukkah needing to be a replacement of the house. And it comes along, Rava says, no, I disagree with that application. Teshu Kein Taduru is limited, let's say, to the first category where it's a din in the yeshiva, the sukkah not being parallel to the yeshiva, the beso, and possibly he could agree to categories 2 and 3. We're not getting to there right now. The factor is, but the point of contention that Rava, the reason why Rava disagrees with Abaye is because he rejects that fourth category of Teshu Kein Taduru.
The unicorn Abaye, there is number one.
Yeah, exactly. There for sure is number one, according to everybody. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, we'll stop here.